Hey everybody, welcome to Gamerheads. Joining me this week is Phil.
Hello.
Christian.
Greetings.
And special guest, Johnny.
Hello, hello. Finally, I've made it on this show. Finally, I can look at my mom and say, I'm better than what you thought I'd be.
And of course, myself. All right, so we have a good show today. We're going to start with the normal...
You can't just say yourself. You didn't even drop your name.
Oh, Tim?
Unless your name is yourself and you've been lying to me this whole time.
Well, talk about that. Back in the System Link Halo days, we would... Actually, this is not really PC. I would say sometimes we would name ourselves yourself. So when you killed, you were killed by yourself.
Ooh. Oh.
Little inception going on back in 2001.
Oh, man.
2001, guys. Halo.
That was like the DS days when I was a youngin'. We would play DS on the bus. And they would do Mario Kart download play. And so someone would be like, hey, guys, I'm starting a Mario Kart match. Get in. And then I'd flip out my DS and I wouldn't tell anyone and I'd get on. And then I'd pretend I was someone else. And then everyone would be like, who the heck is Ted? Why is he tearing this up? Get out of here, Ted. This isn't fun.
I do a very similar thing, but with my taxes.
That's genius.
And the government doesn't know.
Yeah, well, now they do. You just announced it.
Oh, dadgummit.
All right, so what are we playing? I'm going to start with Phil. What are you playing?
I have spent a little bit of time playing a couple of different games. I haven't really delved too deep into anything. I would say the main game that I've probably been playing a lot of is a game called Wreckfest, which I know in group chat I've talked a little bit about, but it's...
Yes.
Essentially a spiritual successor / homage to Destruction Derby / Demolition Derby. You work your way through the ranks, you buy different cars, there's figure eight tracks, oval tracks, dirt tracks, there's school bus racing, there's couch racing, there's lawnmower racing, there's combine racing. It is all out chaos and you get credit for winning races as well as for destroying other cars. Super addictive, really good time, and there's usually a lot of car parts laying everywhere by the end of the race.
Yeah, it's very, very fun. I'm glad you brought this game up. I got this game. It's been out for a while, right?
Yeah, I want to say it's been out a couple of years.
Yeah. I got it, I think I want to say like a year ago, and me and some buddies just played the heck out of that game. It's a blast, especially when you got a bunch of lawnmowers running around trying to ram them into each other. It's a good time.
Mm-hmm. It's just silly good fun.
Fun fact, Wreckfest is one of the two games that I have gotten a platinum trophy in live on stream.
Nice.
That's awesome.
When we were doing the Extra Life thing a couple years back,
I sat down
and did the Uncharted Drake's Fortune, one sitting, 8 hours sitting, platinumed beginning to end. And then I had Wreckfest most of the way done. I just had to get a couple more trophies. So at the tail end of, right after finishing Uncharted, I just jumped into Wreckfest and cleaned up that platinum to make it a 2 platinum day. It was a good
day. Did you enjoy your time with it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was... I actually got that game for assignment back in the day and had to review it. And I was pleasantly surprised because it was out for PC for a little while. And I was nervous because like an early access thing that's been gestating for a while, or at least a project that's been gestating for a while on Steam has, you know, an inconsistent track record with coming to a console and actually performing well. I'm looking at you, Ark Survival Evolved, looking at you, PUBG. But thankfully, Wreckfest actually performs very adequately, which is impressive considering all the carnage that's on display.
Yeah, and if you get a group of friends together and you're playing it multiplayer online, it really is a ridiculously good time, especially if you've got somebody who decides they're just going to drive in the wrong direction and make chaos for everybody else. And it's super fun. There's a lot of laughs to be had. But outside of Wreckfest, today I finally decided to fire up Yakuza 0.
Ooh, I know a thing or two about Yakuza video games.
I know you do, so I figured you would be my guy.
Yes.
It's not at all what I was expecting it to be. I'm only like 2 hours into it, but I didn't realize it was going to be as story-driven as it is. Like, there's a lot of story being crammed down your face, and it's not bad story by any means. Like, I'm intrigued by where it's going as well. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed the little bits of open-world aspect that I've gotten to mess around with, and so far I kind of just got that all opened up because the big twist at the end of the intro just finally happened, and so now I've got a little bit of free reign over the free roaming aspect of it. The fighting is weird. It's tight and loose at the same time, which is strange. And it's kind of almost, it's a battle with the camera more than anything else, where you don't necessarily know exactly where you're swinging or going. But the combo systems feel really, really well done. And I like the way that they work out. I just got the second fighting stance as well. And so I've started to incorporate that a little bit more.
Yes, absolutely. What so got far, you
I'm
into digging
it. I'm going to play all the way through it.
Really? That's a commitment, Phil. This game's like 40 hours long.
That's fine. That's no big deal. I've put 600 hours into MLB The Show. 40 hours isn't anything.
I wish I was like you, Phil. What made you take this first step, Phil, into the world of Yakuza?
I've always kind of been intrigued by the game, and I've heard you speak about them in the past, and I've heard others talk about them in the past. And if I remember correctly, on one of the first episodes after we relaunched, I even asked you what a good jumping on point was, and you said zero, because it's like where they kind of revamped the entire system. And so when I got my Series X, I downloaded it because it's on Game Pass.
Yes.
And today I finally was sitting there and I'm like, I don't really want to play anything else that I own right now. I might as well fire this up and start messing around with it and see how it goes. And so far I dig it.
Yeah. That's good to hear, Phil.
Does it stay as cinematic and story-driven the entire time?
Very much, yeah. Yeah, and I think the story ramps up in a very satisfying way. Really like Yakuza 0. And Yakuza 0 was like my gateway drug. And I played through 10 other Yakuza video games trying to chase that high again and have yet to experience it. But the one Yakuza game I've yet to play
through... Have you played the
newer one? ...is the new one. I have not played through the new one yet. So... I've been sitting on a PS4 copy for a while. I think as of like 2 days ago when we're recording this, the PS5 version finally came out. So I'm waiting for now, but someday soon, hopefully this year, I'll get around to it.
Does the PS4 give you the free upscale to the PS5 or is that just an Xbox thing?
It certainly
does.
Okay,
nice. Yes, that's cool.
Thankfully.
Yeah, but outside of that, that's really all that I've been playing, so we might as well just segue into your portion of the show, Christian, where you fill us in on what's going on in the world of Christian.
Oh, do I have to bore you all with
I mean, you don't have to. You can always just pass.
I suppose so, but I got to do my due diligence, I guess. So, last time when I was on the show, talked about Pokemon, because I played through Pokemon Yellow for the first time in my feeble existence on this planet, and so I figured I might as well keep that going, with it being Pokemon's 25th anniversary, by playing Pokemon Crystal. So this is my second time through Pokemon Crystal, and I think sixth time through an original Pokemon Gen 2 video game. So I've played Gen 2 a lot, because Gen 2 was my like childhood generation of Pokemon. So needless to say, I've played it over and over and over throughout the years. And I was hesitant going in after having just played Pokemon Yellow and thinking that Pokemon Yellow was like the Gen 1 stuff was largely the same as the Gen 2 stuff, but I was very pleasantly surprised to see just the little changes added up into a magnificent whole to make Gen 2 as great as it is in my eyes, even today. And granted, this is colored with nostalgia. It is one of the first video games I can recall spending a lot of time with, but color palette vastly improved over the original, which is understandable because, I mean, the original was Game Boy game. So that's fine. Whatever. The different consoles, I won't give them too much credit for that. But added animations, more variety. There's more different, more Pokemon, obviously, but also a greater variety of trainers that you come across, which is nice. There's like a dude that just has six Pikachus. And he just throws six Pikachus at you over and over. Like they have fun with it and they put some personality in there in a very fun way. I like the pacing of Gen 2 a little bit more. It seems like you level up a little bit faster. It seemed like random encounters were a little bit less. And it seemed like there were a little more trainer battles so that it didn't feel like you were spending so much time grinding, which was also really nice. And also the level design I find is a lot tighter in Crystal. Or Gen 2. In Gen 1, you got a lot more open areas, and so you can't really see everything on the screen at once. Whereas in Gen 2, it's a lot tighter so that you can see like the entirety of an area on screen at once. And I feel like that kind of helps funnel you and guide you in the right directions instead of meandering around as much, which can cause more random encounters to happen. And those are annoying. Let's be honest. Sometimes they're annoying. Sometimes
in
playing
most
two Pokemon
video
games.
It's true.
You guys have any Gen 2 experience? I'm curious. A neutral third party here.
I don't. I went from yellow, and then I don't think I played another one until, I don't remember if Pearl and Diamond came before Black and White.
They did, yes, sir.
Okay, then I jumped back in after yellow. I jumped back in on Pearl.
Got it. Okay,
just Johnny? Just like Coldplay, I've only done yellow. So,
ooh, ooh. I like it. I like it. Well, then that brings me right to the next game that I played. I'm fresh off of. I figured I'd keep the Pokemon streak going, so I actually just finished playing through Pokemon Emerald, which is a Gen 3 kind of game. So played through that one immediately afterwards. And that one, it did not feel like as much of a jump from Gen 1 to Gen 2 for some reason, despite the hardware being significantly more powerful. You know, you like walk across a body of water and there's a reflection now. Wow! Reflections on a Game Boy. Which is cool, I guess, but it's not as big of a jump, like I said. The visuals are obviously better. You got double battles now, so you can have battles with up to 4 Pokemon at the same time. That's fine and dandy. There's some cute little quirks and jokes in there. Like there's an NPC trainer. One that stood out to me was that he's standing next to this pool of lava just waiting for you to walk up to him. And then you walk up to him and then he walks up and fights you. And he's like, man, I don't know why I stand here. My ear is really hot. Which is funny because he's like standing right next to a pool of lava. So stupid. It was good though. I love stuff like that. And it was like the only one like that I recognized in the whole game. And that's like perfect. Just put one in there. That's enough. Mm-hmm. Good job, you guys. Liked that. But there's also more water traversal. And the water traversal gets back to that Pokemon Gen 1 problem where it's very open areas and you're hitting random encounters all the time. And you're just trying to figure out what the heck the map looks like, and it's very easy to get turned around, disoriented, discombobulated, run into a rock, and have no idea where you are, where you're going, because you're just in the middle of an ocean somewhere. That's a little frustrating. But overall, I still think Pokemon Emerald is Pokemon, and it's a pretty solid one.
Nice.
Nice. I don't think it's too bad. In the interim, after playing the Pokemon games, I decided to pick up Splinter Cell on the
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, first time I have played through the original Splinter Cell in my life.
Really?
I've always wanted to play through it ever since I was very, very young. Had a GameCube demo disc that had one section of one level, and I would just play that over and over. Then I rented it from a video store when I was little. Couldn't get past the second level to save my life. Now I can confidently say I have played through the entire video game 2.5 times to get its stupid platinum trophy on PlayStation 3. And disclaimer, don't get the PS3 version of Splinter Cell. There's an HD trilogy, and it has Splinter Cell 1, 2 being Pandora Tomorrow, and 3 mm-hmm. being Chaos Theory. 1 and 2 run like absolute trash. It is probably one of the worst frame rates I've experienced in a game of that era. The game runs awfully. It outputs at 1080p for some reason, one of the very few PlayStation 3 games that does so. I don't know why they do that, though, because the frame rate's awful. It's a stuttering mess. But I was still able to play through it twice regardless and had a very good time. It was like stepping into a time portal. It is so early 2000s. You got to execute the fifth freedom because there's other people knocking on America's door and we got to bring them down. So we're executing that fifth freedom. We have the freedom to kill other people because they are infringing on our rights as Americans. Good stuff. You guys have a Splinter Cell experience?
Oh, yeah. I think I even still have my copy of the original one, if not the second one as well. Are the do the graphics still look, because I haven't touched it since it was on the original Xbox. I think it was the original Xbox.
Yes.
And it was basically this huge, beautiful tech demo as to of the power and what can be done and lots of green because Xbox.
Yes. It is very green.
Does it still hold up? And are all those all the fun physics of like the sheets and all the shadow play still? Do they still look good?
Yes, I thought so. Granted, I was playing the HD version, so there's a little bit of it is gussied up, but
right.
I still think absolutely. I think the lighting and shadow stuff and tech still holds up surprisingly well today. And I think this game could almost pass for like a ray tracing tech demo today with how dynamic it is and how. Just like how well structured it is, it makes so much sense the way the lighting works because you're sneaking around, you're doing espionage, you're not going in guns blazing. You can, But that's not the ideal path through because you're squishy Sam Fisher. You're going in on sneaking missions for Lambert, for the guy, the NSA. So you don't want to be found all the time. And because of that, your guns are more effective for shooting lights than they are for shooting people. And so it just feels so good to just shoot out a couple lights and then just that feeling of satisfaction, like, I'm invisible right now. I can do whatever I want right now.
Hit the night vision goggles and do your thing.
Yes. Oh, man. The night vision and thermal goggles were just mind-blowing as a kid. The fact that they let you see anything and everything with those two options is awesome. Mm-hmm. It's a very linear video game, but they do a very good job with it narrative-wise in the sense that when you're just walking through these narrative situations, you're... comms guy Lambert will chime in and be like, hey, Sam, we got this. It's switched up on you. We got Russians coming in. They're guns loaded, guns blazing. They're coming for you. You're going to love this. Have fun. So it always feels like there's dynamic stuff happening. It feels like things are changing, even though in the grand scheme, you're walking down a hallway and sneaking past some dudes over and over again. They still manage to make it feel dynamic, which is really great.
If I remember right, the voice acting in that game was really good too.
Yes. For the few people who have the most lines, it is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Fisher, mwah. Lambert, mwah, mwah. Love those guys.
And their voices were so like, yeah, and their voices just fit the character that they're portraying as well, which is a huge part of it.
Absolutely. So good. So good. Some of like the innocent civilians and stuff. Not as good.
That's background noise, but...
Exactly. Yeah. But it lends to the experience. Back when they blew all their money on three voice actors, and so they got Joe Schmo programming in the corner over there. Hey, we need terrorist number three. Get in here. Exactly. Any fondness for Splinter Cell for Johnny and Tim?
I definitely remember, I think there was a demo of it, and I played the demo like crazy, but I never actually ever played the game. But I do remember a lot of green and black.
Yes.
Yep.
Lots of green and black. What about you, Tim?
For sure.
I do have, I have it on original Xbox, and I remember playing it and enjoying it. It was one of the, like Phil said too, like the original Xbox back when that came out, it was huge. It definitely like showed what the system was capable of, that and the original Halo. And, but I, for some odd reason, I never went past the first game, but I really enjoyed the first game.
Yeah. You and me both. I would like to hopefully at some point play some of the other ones. The thing that's holding me back is that I had to play through this game 2.5 times, you know, back to back in order to get all the stupid trophies. Cause you got to beat the game without dying. You got to beat the game without killing anyone. You got to beat the game without healing once. You got to beat the game without setting off any alarms. So you got to do all this stuff and you got to be very anal retentive about all of it.
And that's a tough platinum.
That's crazy. Yeah, thankfully the game is only like once you know. My first playthrough was probably like 15 hours. Once I knew what was going on, the second playthrough was like 5 hours, which is very tolerable compared to some of the stuff I put myself through.
So you're going to take a pause before heading into the second one?
Yeah, that's the plan because I'd like to plow through as much of that franchise as possible. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty extensive franchise where we got like 6-7 games in there. I'd like to
play. Yeah, and unless you're a huge stealth fan, I feel as though it's a genre you can get burnt out on pretty quick.
Yeah, especially off of what I just played through, 5 Hitman games, so.
Yep.
I'm trying, but speaking of wasting my time on things and not knowing why, I've probably poured like roughly 60 hours into Destiny 2 since we last convened.
Ooh.
I got back into Destiny 2, unfortunately. Any Destiny 2ers here?
I played through the main campaign and put it down almost immediately afterwards.
Yeah. Okay.
I've heard it and that it manifests, but other than that.
Yes. Okay.
That's about as far as I go.
Tim, have you ever fallen down the Destiny rabbit hole?
Not the second one. We tried the first one briefly. Yeah, I played it for a bit but I kind of put it down because the whole thing, like I like the graphics, like the where it was going, the gameplay was solid, but we just didn't have a lot of people. We got it when we got our Xbox One. Not a lot of people we knew had Xbox One, so we really didn't have a lot of friends to play with.
Yeah,
but I enjoyed what I played of the original one anyway.
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat as Phil, it sounds like, where I never played the first one. I was there for the second one the day it came out because I was like, okay, heard of Destiny. I knew a couple people who were really into Destiny 1. So Destiny 2 was my opportunity to jump aboard the bandwagon, so to speak. And I put about 80 hours into it and that first hurrah and kind of experienced all the content there was at launch, where I got my character to what was the max level at the time. And then did like all of the Nightfall stuff, all the raid, but I didn't have any friends similar to you guys, or at least similar to Tim, didn't have any friends. So I just have to match with random people. And that's the problem with Destiny 2 is that there's no random matchmaking for its bigger stuff. So for the raids, there's no matchmaking. So what you have to do is like go on internet websites and look for people who are like, hey, we're looking for someone, but you better know what you're doing. And then I have to be like, okay, I'll watch this hour YouTube video twice so that I maybe know what I'm doing. And yep. I still don't know what I'm doing, but I have to pretend I do. I'm like, yeah, I stand on the thing and shoot the guys.
Are you so playing on the Xbox or the PC?
I am currently, I first got Destiny 2 on PS4. And currently I am playing it across PlayStation 5 and PC because it is cross progression.
Is it cross play as well?
It is not currently, but I think in a few months they will be adding that functionality.
Can PC play with Xbox though, or is that not a thing either?
Not currently, but...
Because as I say, I still own it on the Xbox, and if you need somebody to team up, I would be willing to reinstall and play.
Ooh, Phil. I might take you up on that because I've been stuck playing it a bunch. Played through, so they've come out with three expansions since I last played it. And I played through the story content for all three of those expansions. And it's very frustrating. It was very deflating for those first like 30 hours when I was just playing through that expansion content that I paid money for, that they're still charging for some reason. Because there's pretty cutscenes and there's a story. Like you could still, you're still paying money to get a lot of pretty cutscenes and production values and a campaign out of it. But there's no meaningful progression really that you garner from that campaign content, because that the way they've structured those expansions is that none of those older expansions, the two older expansions, won't drop any gear or loot that will be that you'll be able to use once you get to the higher levels. So I happened to get around to that content when I was a higher level. And so because of that, there was no real progression or character building reason for me to do any of that content because of how they sunset it all. So that was unfortunate. The third expansion was a bit better in that regard because there's actually stuff that'll drop that'll make your character more powerful, because how Destiny works is your character level is largely based on the gear that you're wearing. And so you're constantly farming gear in order to make your level go up by one, go up by one, go up by one. So you're trying to reach cap, the highest one that you can get to, so that you can be cool and be with the cool kids and actually play the raids. And people won't be like, oh, this guy's a nasty 1250. What's he doing in this lobby, dude? Get him out of here.
What's cap at these days?
I think... good question. I think right now it's 1350.
Holy hell.
The current cap. And back when I was first playing, it was 250.
That's where I was too. Yeah.
250 or 300. So when I first started playing, I was like, oh, so this character I spent 80 hours with is completely useless now because I stopped playing the video game. So I just created a new character, started from scratch, and it went pretty fast. But now so back when I played it, I got one trophy away from the platinum trophy.
Oh.
That is still the case, because you had to do one event called a Prestige Nightfall, and that event did not have matchmaking, so you would have to find other people willing to do it with you and party up, and I didn't know two other people who played Destiny 2. So I was unable to get that trophy because I couldn't find people willing to put up with me to play through that with me, and since then the goalposts have shifted, because as they've added expansions, that trophy has become unobtainable unless buy expansions. But they fixed that, but they've made it harder in the process. So they've like changed which event that trophy pertains to, but now the event that it currently pertains to is pretty difficult, and it's probably one of the hardest endgame content things currently in Destiny 2. So every day I log on, I have to log on to do my dailies, to do my weeklies, and it's homework because I have to just keep on farming gear until I maybe get to that 1350 mark. And if I can get to that 1350 mark, that's not all of it because that's the required level before playing this thing that I need the trophy for. Then I need to find two whack jobs who are just as crazy as me, who have been playing this game, you know, every day and every week in order to get to that arbitrary number to drag me through kicking and screaming this nightfall that's now related to the trophy because it's probably going to be rough. But I can cross my fingers and hope for the best. Who knows?
There's still a pretty big player base playing, though, isn't there?
It's decent, yes. It definitely helps that I am able to play across both PC and PS4 and PS5. So I can kind of go wherever the people are at. It seems like the dedicated players are kind of on the PC currently, or at least all the crazy people who make the two-hour-long YouTube videos that I have to watch in order to understand what's going on in Destiny 2 are. So I think there's a good chance I can find some whack jobs, but jury's still out.
Shoot me a message when you get to that point. I know a couple of people that play really religiously on the, and I believe it's on the PC, and I'm sure they'd be willing to hook up with you as well.
Phil, you are a savior.
Yeah, I just play a lot of video games online with friends, that's all.
Oh, I wish I could do the same. But anyway, that's the extent of my life over the past 2 weeks. What about you, Johnny? Hopefully you've been doing something more productive with yourself.
No, but I'm glad you asked, Christian. currently, the first one I want to talk about is a little game from Rare called Donkey Kong Country 3.
Ooh.
Yeah, been playing that for my show, Retro Bliss. Cheap plug there. That's the next game we're going to cover. So that's the one I've been playing through a lot. I do like and recognize how great those Donkey Kong Country games are, obviously. Mm. I mean, they really stand out just graphically even and just how they look and how they play. Top platformers. But man, this one just really grades my gears.
Three specifically?
Yes, just because of how tough it gets. Mm-hmm. It gets really, really hard. And this was the first time that I really put any real time into it. I played the first two a lot. But this is the first time I played the third one with any sense of dedication to wanting to get a good distance into the game. And I was frustrated after the first world where I was like, how do I get to the next world? Even that. It doesn't tell you. And I had to have my friend Trevor tell me. Thankfully he knew. And Tim knew. They both helped me out there. But it just gets so, so difficult to the point where I'm just like, I'm just not going to do this anymore. I'd rather keep my blood pressure low and not do this. But I do recognize that it's good. I'm very curious. What do you guys think of the Donkey Kong Country, especially the Super Nintendo versions of that franchise?
I think I played through 1 and 2. I know for sure I played through 1. I'm pretty sure I played through 2. I have the same problem with the Donkey Kong games as I do with the Mario games, as I do with the Crash Bandicoot games, as I do with any platformer known to man. And that's there's always an effing ice and snow level. Yes. I hate ice and snow levels. They ruin lives. They're the most frustrating thing known to man. And they just need to go away once and for all. I'm playing through Yoshi's Island still. Yoshi's Island. And I hit the snow level. And I'm ready just to rage quit.
That's great.
But other than that, I enjoy them a lot. Actually, they're one of the games that my girlfriend and I, we tend to co-op our way through the Donkey Kong Country games. They're fun.
Yeah, that is one thing I do like about it is that they're co-op. That's a little fun little aspect of those games.
Tim has Donkey Kong Country experience, right, Tim?
I did. Yeah, I last episode I talked about my experience with that one as well. So
that's right. The only Donkey Kong Country I've ever played through is Tropical Freeze.
That's a great one. I love
it. It is. Yeah. I like it a lot. And I've tried several times. Like Donkey Kong Country 1, 2, and 3 have been on my to playlist forever. But I haven't sat down to actually play through all of 1 yet. Which one, Johnny, is the canonical Donkey Kong Country game?
2 would be the one I would say.
Okay. Yeah. I see.
I kind of think so. The first one hits me in nostalgia just because I would go over to my uncle's to play it a lot. And that's just a really good memory for me. But going back through and playing them, the second ones were, to me, where they really found their footing. And it's really, I mean, all the first one's good too, but you know, the music and everything, you know, the David Wise music, the score that he did is just phenomenal. So everything about the second one is quite good in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim agrees, even if he doesn't say so.
I do. In my opinion, the second one is the best of the trilogy as well.
Yeah. But out of all of them, I would say my favorite one is Tropical Freeze. I really do love that one.
What?
A lot. Yeah.
Dang.
It's a lot of fun and it's super pretty too.
Oh, yes. Yes, for sure. Yeah. Which is how I judge anything, is how pretty it is. That's
of course.
That's the only way I give anything value, is how pretty you are. Another game that I've been playing has been NBA 2K21. I'm a basketball fan, so that kind of helps a little bit. But this was the first – I was telling Tim this. I've been an NBA 2K guy since Dreamcast. Like, I literally got the first one that ever came out. And I've gotten one every year since then. This was the first year where I knew that it was – I was like, I'm just not going to do it anymore, right? Because it's just these sports games come out every year, and they're just pretty much an upgrade to your rosters to keep them current to whatever the rosters are now. But I was like, I'm not going to do it this time, and then they put it on sale for like $20. So I was like, okay.
And now it's on Game Pass for free.
Yeah, and now it's on Game Pass for free. That's how it goes. Yeah. So besides, if you can take out the microtransaction stuff, which is a crime against mankind. If you take those out, it's a pretty fun little game. If you like basketball, I do recommend it. Especially now that it's on Game Pass, just in my opinion, if you play in that mode where you buy packs to get players and stuff to build your team. I've played that mode and I have a really good team and I'm not paid for a single one. So you can't play through it and not spend any money. Just depends on how you are with that stuff. It's a really fun game. They keep adding a lot of stuff to it, so that kind of keeps me going. But the game that I've really spent the most time on, and Tim, I'm pretty sure could back me up on this because I've been playing it with him, is a little game. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, called Fortnite. And just today, this is a huge brag, and I hope you're all sitting down when I say this. but just today, I hit level 100.
In the battle pass?
On the battle pass.
What's the skin?
They give you, get this, because this is the season of the Mandalorian. They give you the child. and it is amazing. I love the little child because he does little animations and stuff when he's behind you. It's pretty great. Like one of the things he does, he plays with that little, what's that called, Tim? The shifter, the top of the shifter, the little shifter ball.
Yeah, from the ship. Yeah, he plays with that.
He plays with that. He'll take a sip of his soup or drink or whatever. Oh. He'll eat one of those little fishy eggs. He does all this stuff. And he does all these great reactions. But, man, Fortnite, honestly, is a lot of fun, especially if you're playing it with friends. And Tim and I and usually our buddy Pete, shout out to Pete, gets to play. And Trevor, and we all usually get on there and have a really great time. It's been my stress reliever here lately.
Nice. I know a lot of people that have turned on to Fortnite lately after swearing it off years upon years ago just because of all the fun skins and different events and things that they're doing. So it's nice to hear that it's getting Steam back again.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool that literally in one match, I can be the Mandalorian and I'm fighting, you know, like Wolverine and some X-Men.
Right.
And there's a Ghostbusters show up or, you know, all these different skins are just all in there. It's pretty cool, pretty fun that they can do that. They build a world which they can literally bring any franchise into it, and it kind of makes sense. They just this past week they did Ripley and the Alien is the one they just brought in.
Yeah, so. It's really cool.
Geez, it would be easier to say what's not in Fortnite at this point.
Yeah,
it's getting there.
Pretty much. But I do because I do listen to the show. That's another brag. I will echo what Tim said about it. The main thing, here's a big tip to all of you who want to play and get good at it. Learn to jump and shotgun.
That is the key.
That's the key. And to hide in bushes like Tim and I do.
Do you know how to crank a 90, Johnny?
Oh, man, this sounds very personal.
Jeepers.
This is what my little brother tells me. He says you got to crank the 90s.
Is that a jump 90 shot type of a thing?
It's how you build like a tower very quickly to like climb up.
Though so I want to know though, because I'm very frustrated by those people.
Yeah, you could be one of those people. There's nothing stopping you.
I don't know. I feel like my actual abilities do.
Yeah. Stop me.
It was, my hands just don't work that way.
Yeah.
Fortnite was weird back then because there was all kinds of like little quirks. It was back when I think they first got Save the World on console, and there was like quirks where you would like fill your inventory up with tactical shotguns and like pump shotguns. You'd alternate the two, because if you like shot with one and then swapped to the other and shot that one, your fire rate would be slightly faster. So it'd be like pumped attack, pumped attack, pumped attack. That's what you'd want to do.
Wow. Hmm.
I think they have since long patched that, and I'm probably showing my age by even mentioning that. So I apologize.
Yeah, that game has been out since like 2017, which just blew my mind that it's been out that long now.
Mm-hmm.
Your hiding in the bushes strategy reminds me of how I play Warzone, by the way.
Ooh, smart.
That's how I play any game and also live life. I just wait for my moment and pop out.
And then go back into hiding again.
They go back in there, yeah.
Nobody saw me, right? Nobody saw me, right? Okay, good. I'm cool.
Yeah, like a Homer Simpson meme. That's all I do.
Yep.
But yeah, so I've really been loving that. It's, you know, just when, you know, it's a really great game where you can just hang out with friends and kind of just turn your brain off, really.
Mm-hmm.
Just to enjoy just goofing around. Because most of the time when we're playing, Tim, and tell you, we're literally just goofing around on the map. We're driving cars randomly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just having a good time and just listening to what's new on the radio in the cars. We literally have done that. Most of the songs we don't know because we're old, but
you guys aren't just sitting there listening for footsteps. Aren't you guys there to win? Come on.
That's why we hide in the bushes.
Smart.
With the radio played in the car still.
Yeah, yes. We put the car in the bush and turn the radio up as we can. I don't know why that hasn't worked yet. But that's what I've been playing.
And that leaves me. And mine's going to be quick because I've basically only been playing Fortnite for the most part when I've been playing games. So going to kind of echo a little bit of what Johnny's been talking about. But yeah, we've been having a blast. This afternoon, I hit level 100 as well in Fortnite.
That's right.
Lord, so, you guys are gamers, right?
So on our team, we have two people running around with two children. It's pretty great.
We're with child.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Just a couple of single dads running around.
Got to bring the kid. Let's go kill some things.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just can't say it. Like, it's been a lot of fun, like hanging out, like Johnny already said it, but I can't relate to it more. Stress reliever, you know, life gets crazy and stuff like that. Turn your brain off, hang out, goof around with some friends. And the funniest thing about that game is like, we'll literally just be messing around, laughing, talking dumb stuff. Sometimes we just walk in and we die or whatever. But other times, next thing you know, we're fighting and we've actually won. And be like, well, we didn't realize it, or we'll be killed. And we'll like you've placed second. Like, wow, we didn't even realize it was that many people mm-hmm. left. You know, it's just, that's fun of it too. And of course, moments of like, you know, earlier today, you know, Pete would drive the truck, Johnny would be inside, and my character would be in the bed of the truck dancing while they're trying to drive. And, you know, it's just fun stuff like that. And
Tim is a great dancer, so it's very distracting.
I am a great dancer. So, I mean, I bust out that Rick Astley emote, you know, with the song, and
he shows a lot of leg.
Well, I bought the pack of Ryu and Chun-Li.
Oh, okay.
And so I go back and forth between Ryu, Chun-Li and Mancake. And now the Mandalorian a little bit. So earlier I end up being Ryu and Chun-Li or alternating between the two all the time. And that's a lot of fun. So yeah, it's a fun game.
Yeah, they put a lot of little details in it too. When they put in these new characters, like for example, on Tim's Street Fighter characters, he's got a little backpack that's a little arcade machine of Street Fighter.
Oh, it's so great!
Yeah,
so great.
And like you'll see a character select screen when he's moving around, a joystick moves in the direction he's going in. What are some of the other things it does, Tim?
Oh man, like. If you look, like when you're hurting, like if you have low health, like the back of the screen, it shows like Guile's face when he's all beat up, like game Dang. Over screen. If you're in the storm, cool. If you're in the storm, it shows Blanka and he's doing the charge up thing because you're getting shocked. And the best thing is when you kill somebody, it either does Ken's hurricane kick. So it's like, oh, you kid. Like when you're killing people, the arcade machine's going crazy, like yelling phrases from the game. And I cracked out laughing the first time I did it. And I just love it. So usually I like wearing that a lot. The pack came with Ryu and Chun-Li. And it came with that backpack. And each of them had, Ryu had his, like his travel bag that he does when he travels, like the, I don't know what it's called.
It's like a little bag satchel or something.
It's a satchel. Yeah. It's like a back. Each of them have that. And, they each have two skins and built in emotes, which I thought were really cool. Like Ryu does he charges up, like he's going to shoot the fireball and he ends up doing the dragon punch. And then Chun-Li just does a bunch of fast kicks. And so it's really cool. And they each have two skins. Ryu has his normal white gi, and then he's got the, like, when he's got the beard, like when he's like, he kind of looks like Rambo. He's got no shirt on. He's got like a beard and the red headband. So that's like Rambo Ryu. And then Chun-Li also has her Street Fighter II original outfit. And then she has her one from Alpha, Street Fighter Alpha series as well.
Yeah, so. But the best character in the whole game, though, is Mancake.
And it is Mancake, though, yeah.
That's this Western, it's this cowboy whose head is just pancakes with syrup dripping off of
them. Oh, jeez.
And he's the greatest creation since, I can't even think of anything it's even above, that I would put above how amazing this is. I would take this over all my friends and family.
He's the reason we bought the battle pass. It's like, oh my God, I can be this pancake guy? Of course I'm going to do this. Yeah.
I mean, when I got good enough to put the cowboy hat on him, I knew that I had made it as a human being and that I've accomplished all that I could ever accomplish.
Level 30 something. You knew you were ready.
Yeah.
Whatever level that was.
How much is the battle pass for Fortnite and how long does it go on for?
This one, we got on this one when it was already happening, but it ends the 15th of this month. We've been playing it, what do we think, 2 months, Tim?
About 2 months we started playing it, yeah.
Okay.
And it's only, and it's like $8 to $9, I think, for a
season. It's not bad.
That's not bad.
No.
You get a lot of stuff if you're going to play. It's well, I mean, I think it pays for itself.
You get some V-Bucks, right? Well, you do. Going through enough to buy the next season, don't you?
Yes.
You do, yes. Yep.
So I don't have to pay for the next one when it comes out. I'm just going to use what I already have from this one.
Nice. Even better.
Yeah. Yeah.
But basically that's basically all I've been playing. So anything exciting. So now let's go into the subject of our show. So we've all brought one or two or more different franchises from the past that we'd like to see return. So I'm going to start with Phil. What do you got for franchises you might like to see return?
I've got a small handful of them. The one I'm going to start out with is probably the one that most people will definitely know the game off the top of their head as soon as I mention it, and that's Sly Cooper.
Yeah,
I think we're due for Sly Cooper to return. That was one of the better late 90s, mid 2000s platformery collectathon games. It was just really cute, well-told story, a bunch of different characters that you get to play as. I loved and adored those games, and I think it'd be great if it made a comeback finally. I'm sure you guys have all played this.
Forever.
Has there?
I think so. There's a trailer out there for a Sly Cooper movie.
Really? Wow.
But I think it's from like 5 years ago or something. So I don't know if that movie's still getting made. Hopefully.
So it went in development right around the time that the Uncharted movie did.
Yep.
Oh, jeez.
Did you play the fourth one, Phil? PlayStation 3 one?
No.
Thieves in Time, I think it was called.
I did play Thieves in Time. I was just looking at that. Yep. That's the last one. I played, so that means I played through all of them.
Jeez.
I think I even platinumed 1 and 2 because they re-released the collection.
They did.
And they were pretty easy to play through, or pretty easy platinums too, because most of the collectibles aren't too well hidden, and the games themselves are easy enough. They're fun little games, and yeah, I spent some time with it and platinumed at least the first two.
Ooh, Phil. The cool thing about the HD trilogy for Sly Cooper is that it does a thing I wish more games would do, which is that if you 100% and get the platinum trophy for all three games, you unlock a secret trailer on the main menu, and that secret trailer was a teaser for the fourth game. That was in development.
Really?
That was not announced at that point. So whenever I like go through like a series or franchise or something and platinum all the games, I'll usually like hang around the menus sometimes.
See if something else comes up.
Yeah, I have yet to see anything as cool as that or anything at all, but maybe someday.
That's a heck of an Easter egg.
It is. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Another game that came to mind that I don't even know if anybody's ever even heard of is a game called Nightmare Creatures.
Yeah.
Which was way back on the PlayStation 1. It was brought to us by Activision, if I remember correctly. Something, something scientist experiment gone wrong, turned everything into angry creatures. You played as one of two characters, went around, killed them all. Creepy, gory, pixelated funness. I had a blast with the first two games. I remember at one point in time, there was a third one slated to be in development, but I would imagine it's gotten canceled because that was due for release in like 2001 and it's never seen the light of day. I'd like to see that franchise come back just because it was one that I had a good time with way, way back when.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people draw comparisons between Nightmare Creatures and Bloodborne.
Okay.
With its very dark city streets, dingy, what's the word? Lovecraftian monsters and stuff. Yep. That kind of vibe.
Yeah, it was a good fun game. I'm sure it doesn't hold up at all these days, but it was great at the time. I'll just throw one last one out there because I feel as though there was a spiritual successor to it, and that is Tenchu. Which was, I think, again by Activision, but it was one of the original stealth slash ninja games. That's and it had some of the cheesiest dialogue and voice acting from the enemies known to man that just got quoted for hours upon hours between myself and all of my friends, because it'd just be like, you'd have two guards walking around outside and one would just look at the other and go, "Nice night." And then he'd turn and start walking away again.
Yes. What?
Who was that? It was nothing. And then go walking back away again. And when I say I feel as though there's a spiritual successor to it, I am thinking of, I don't remember the name of the game, but Second I know that Chris played it. There you go. And I would think that that would be about as close as we've gotten to a Tenchu since maybe the first Xbox, maybe Xbox 360. But those games are a lot of fun, super cheesy, super corny. Good fun, though.
Yeah, I think From Software, people who made Dark Souls and Sekiro, I think they came out and said that their initial plan was to make a Tenchu like a reboot or sequel in a sense when they were making Sekiro, but then during the development process it kind of diverged so much that they just made it its own thing.
Got it.
But it's possible.
There's still a chance.
There is.
But those are what I bring to the table. Christian, anything you want to see?
The number one thing that I would like to see in my lifetime before I pass is another Burnout video game.
Yes, please.
good. I'm in good company today. Awesome. Burnout Paradise is one of my favorite games of all time. And I think if you got a skilled group of people who understand the franchise and know how to kind of slide into it again, like a glove, because who knows where those people are, what they're doing now. I think there was a recent like spiritual successor thing that people were kind of lukewarm about. But if we got full blast, Burnout game, big budget, awesome soundtrack, unlicensed cars that you can wreck the crap out of again. I would love that. That's what I'd like to see.
With crash mode. Gotta have crash. Bring
that. Yeah, you gotta. Yeah.
You gotta.
I mean, you just mentioned it sold 3 copies.
Yes.
Another game that I'd like to see another one of is Titanfall. I'd like to see a Titanfall 3. This one, Titanfall 2 wasn't that long ago, and Apex Legends is technically in the same universe, yada, 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 whatever. But I would like to see a Titanfall 3, if only because I don't think we probably ever will. But I can hope, and I can dream. And I think there were rumors at some point that they were making one. Who knows? Who knows at this point? But I really liked Titanfall 1, and really, really liked Titanfall 2. And I think that a Titanfall 3 could be even better, despite the heights that they reached with Titanfall 2. It's just unfortunate that I don't really think there would be much of an audience unless they made it Battle Royale. But I prefer Titanfall 3 not to be that. But that's besides the point. This is my beautiful, lovely dream world where we're getting another Burnout.
I really thought that I just read the other day that EA said something along the lines of, don't rule out a Titanfall 3 yet.
Really?
I thought I saw a tweet about that the other day.
Yeah,
get my hopes up.
I thought Apex was doing well enough where, like, maybe they would think about doing that.
Maybe.
Because that's a fun game. So, I don't know if you guys have played Apex, but it's I enjoy it a lot. So the gun, especially the gunplay, is really, really well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tight. But Titanfall had the Titans in it, and just the campaign that they wrote for the second one was phenomenal as well. Mm-hmm. The multiplayer online was super fun. Like, Titanfall 2 was a pretty badass game that didn't get the love it deserved because it came out at the same time as, like, whatever, Call of Duty or Battlefield, if not both.
Yep. very unfortunate. It was weird. It was weird being there when that game launched and playing it and like seeing it on TVs and like a Buffalo Wild Wings and people being like, oh, huh, that's a video game, I guess. And I think Gamer Fuel that year was licensed by Titanfall, which was kind of funny.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I don't know how that happened because that was not the big game. There's also... Yeah, because I remember Call of Duty Infinite Warfare came out that year, and I got a bunch of Gamer Fuel because I thought it would be funny. So I have a picture from launch day of Infinite Warfare where I've got like six Mountain Dews and like two or three bags of Doritos lined up because I thought it would be funny. I don't usually drink Mountain Dew or eat Doritos, but the Mountain Dew was Titanfall themed instead of Call of Duty themed, so it was kind of against the point, but... I still thought it was kind of funny.
Oh.
But maybe we'll get one someday. Phil, you give me hope.
Here's hoping.
Yeah. The last but not least, honorable mention. I hope someday we'll see another Time Splitters. This is another one.
Yes.
Yes.
This is another one where, kind of like Burnout, I have no idea where the original Time Splitters people are. And that's a game where you would, or a franchise where you'd very much have to understand the spirit of the thing and not just create another first person shooter with like cartoony guns and stuff. I like to see the personality brought back because Time Splitters was very idiosyncratic. There's almost nothing else like it. It is just like funny and fun in one great juvenile package. And I'd love to relive that again in a modern video game.
Yeah. You know what I think is strange is I think you just named three EA titles and I named three Activision titles. So clearly we've got our studios we're pissed at.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, stay tuned for mine because I got Konami in my second. But yeah, I'm gonna back you up, Christian. Time Splitters, especially the second one, I think it was. I remember going into one of my buddies' rooms and just the three of us, him and his brother, playing that split screen, and we played that for hours and hours. It was so fun. Just some really fun, goofy characters too that really had some personality.
Absolutely.
I would love to see that. Yeah. Oh.
Tim, there was a lot to love about those games.
Absolutely. Did you ever frequent or were you ever fortunate enough, Tim, to experience Time Splitters back in your day?
Time Splitters 2, yeah. We had it on the GameCube and we played the crap out of it.
Yeah.
It was a great game. Like Johnny said, we'd get together and play multiplayer and had a blast with it. And stupidly, during a purge like years ago, a lot of games I know I used to own are gone. And that's one of them because I went looking for it and I can't find it. So,
jeez.
But I don't believe I played the first one. Was that PS1? What was the first one?
I think it was PS2.
PS2?
Okay. Yeah. There is a sealed copy of Time Splitters 2 at my local video game store, but it's like $90.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah. And I'd also feel bad for breaking the seal because I'd want to play it.
Yeah.
Good times. So, Johnny, what bones do you have to pick with Konami?
Oh, man. All right, I got a couple. I'm going to bookend this with some Konami. So, I'm going to start with ones I really miss, like back in my day. Back in my day, we had the awesome Konami beat-em-ups, the licensed ones.
Yes.
Like the Ninja Turtles specifically is what I'm thinking of. But you had Ninja Turtles, you had Simpsons, there's so many you could just name that were so good. The X-Men, you know, so good and so well done. I just miss those. I would love for those to come back. Heck, I would love for those to be brought back remastered or whatever. I'd play those too.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, so I would love for that. So please, Konami, do something good for once. another one would be, and this one I thought they were going to do something because I think it was like the 25th or 30th anniversary, just was not too long ago, and it's NBA Jam.
Almost made my list as well.
I mean that's one of my all-time favorite games, not just basketball games but games period. That's one of the reasons I would even go to the arcade was because of that game. I loved NBA Jam. I played it, and it's so accessible to anybody. You don't even need to be good at a basketball game to be good at that game.
No, because the rubber band AI will catch you back up in no time if they get too far ahead.
Yes. Yes. Man, I spent so much money on that game. I just love and miss it. Not too long ago, I think it was Xbox 360 time, I had that one where they kind of re-released it with updated, people in it. Like, I think LeBron James was in it.
But
But they haven't had one since then. And there was a rumor that they were going to bring one out. But it never happened. And there's a really good book that I want to read that Tim's been selling me on about it that I really want to read.
It's excellent.
yeah, just all about NBA Jam. But that's one of them. Another one would be, did you guys ever, this is one of my favorite all-time platformers, and that's Rayman Legends.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I think I brought that up a couple of episodes ago about one of my go-to peaceful, tranquil games.
You did, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, it's such, it's so, even just looking at it, just so, it's a work of art. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful just to look at, and I mean, the music levels by themselves are just incredible, but it just, it's one of my favorite all-time platformers, and I played through that thing 4 or 5 times. I just love it so much. So please bring those back. I would definitely enjoy that.
And those music levels were a thing of beauty and mm-hmm, perfection, yes, and art, and just hit everything right on the good feels. Like every time you get to the end of a world, you knew it was a music level coming. You're like, oh, what song is it going to be?
Yes.
That first time through. And it's so fulfilling, man.
So, yeah. So exciting. So I would love for those to come back, and I'm going to end it with one I don't know if many people even know about, but back in the NES days when Konami was really king and putting out some great games, they put out a game based on a franchise of toys called Monster in My Pocket.
Yep. Yes.
And yeah. I love that game. To this day, I still love it. Played it not too long ago. It still holds up in my opinion. I want another Monster in My Pocket. Let me run around as either Dracula and Frankenstein and just taking out some weird, strange creatures, and I'm going to have a blast.
I'd buy it.
That's an awesome game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, with other games getting, you know, aren't they just recently releasing like Ghosts and Goblins again, like a new one of those?
Mm-hmm. They are. Yep.
So bring me a Monster in My Pocket.
You could get your chance. Depends on where the licenses for that is now, though. I would have to assume has a lot to do with it. It's just, you know, how tough that licensing would be to get.
Yeah, but I feel like nobody really even knows of it anymore, so maybe it's cheap.
That very well could be true.
Yeah. That is true.
What about you, Tim?
Mine. I'll start with one, and then one is my next one is kind of a franchise in quotation marks, but to go off awesome beat 'em ups, because we've had a actually good resurgence of beat 'em ups in recently, like with Streets of Rage 4 and other ones. I'd like them to revisit the Final Fight series.
Yes.
Which I love that series. The original arcade version is amazing. And 2 and 3, the ones that were exclusively on Super Nintendo, were both excellent as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. And then now I'm going to go into the,
did they do a Streets, sorry to interrupt for a second, but did they do a collection of those or no?
Final Fight?
Yeah.
I don't believe so.
That's unfortunate. Konami could own the game.
You know what, though? Konami treats...
Or not Konami, I meant Capcom, sorry.
Yeah, me too. Capcom, though, they, like you said, though, they're treating their franchises very well. They're remastering Resident Evils, like Johnny said, you got said too. They're bringing back Ghosts and Goblins. They know. It's like, I wish Konami, going back to Konami, would do a quarter of what Capcom is doing as a company. They're bringing the nostalgia back, but they're also making quality games.
Right.
So they're catering to the people like us that grew up with these games, and they're finding a new audience too. Mm-hmm. Where Konami is hopefully. Oh, the other one before I get into my little spiel, I wanted them to actually make a real live Castlevania game again.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the last ones they did, the Lords of Shadow games, I thought were really cool. They mm-hmm. were obviously different. I like the universe that they were setting up, but since Lords of Shadow 2 came out, they just haven't done anything. They might have done like a mobile thing or something, but it's so
maybe when they did the Castlevania collection that they just re-released, maybe that's a sign of them testing the waters.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping so too. And to go back what Johnny was saying, they did do that arcade one-up machine of the Turtles. Mm-hmm. So that means Konami and Nickelodeon, who now own the Turtles, obviously made some kind of deal to put Turtles in Time and Turtles arcade game out. So I'm dreaming on for an NES, you know, an 8 16-bit collection. They could do that easily.
I'd buy it first day.
I would too. Yeah. I would too. And I own all those games on the cart, and it doesn't matter. It's just to have it accessible on like the Switch or the Xbox would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge audience to get, especially do like the fun, all the new quality of life features that the new collections are getting, add those to some of the Turtle games. And, you know, it's like, but I wish that was one too. The Konami licensed beat 'em ups, huge. I mean, huge stuff. But
there was always a line for those games at the arcades too. All of your Simpsons and X-Men's and Turtles games. Like, people were just waiting to jump on that fourth stick.
Yeah, yep. They did. Alien versus Predator beat 'em up. I think that was Konami as well.
Oh, I don't know if I ever played that.
That was really good. They also did the Cowboys of Moo Mesa. There was a short-lived cartoon.
Sounds amazing. I have to look into Cowboys of Moo Mesa.
It's great.
Look up the arcade game. It's amazing.
Look up the cartoon and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The arcade game is excellent. Also, Konami did the Bucky O'Hare game, the NES one. Yes. That's kind of Mega Man-esque a little bit. And that's a rare cart, but there's also a almost like a beat 'em up, shoot 'em up style arcade title that's nothing like the NES one, where it's like a four player thing, kind of like Moo Mesa, because Moo Mesa is more, it's not as much a beat 'em up as kind of like you run through and with kind of like Sunset Riders a little bit, which is another great game as well. And that's Konami. Yeah, they are talking Konami. Yeah, so. But the other one that I have to talk about is, when I say franchise in quotation marks, is I want Nintendo to make another baseball game. And I'm going to I know licensing won't work, but the Ken Griffey series of baseball games, I'd like to see make a return in some way, as well as Mario Baseball. I don't know if you guys have played the Mario baseball games.
Absolutely. Yes.
And I feel like Mario Baseball, it's time, because golf, tennis have such a great resurgence. Like, I don't know, maybe the Mario Baseball games didn't do as well. I mean, probably not, because there was only two of them, the one on GameCube and Wii. The one on GameCube is one of my favorite GameCube games of all time. Dee and I would play that all the time, just together. And she's not one that really is into sports games at all. And she loves Mario Baseball. Mm-hmm. And I remember being really excited and getting the one for the Wii. And then, unfortunately, just not caring for it as much because of the motion controls.
Because it was on the Wii?
Yeah, unfortunately. And it broke my heart, because we bought it like first day and everything. And I don't even think, to be honest with you, I don't even know if I even own it anymore. But the GameCube version, I love. But the Ken Griffey style games, I'd love Nintendo to make a baseball game again. That's like,
yeah, I would have, if not for that recent announcement, I would have Mario Golf on my list. I'm very excited for that one, because I played the heck out of the 64 one, the Nintendo 64. Yep. It was so good.
They do great. It's Camelot, I believe, that does all of the games. They're an amazing company. I think we talked about them before on here, but they do amazing. Like, honestly, like, I remember the original Mario Tennis on N64 was actually the first. It's funny, I bought an N64 and I got it late. The game I bought with it, because it didn't come with a game, it was just the system and the purple controller. The first game I owned on it was actually Mario Tennis. And that was the only game I had on N64. Everyone's like, you don't have Mario? You don't have Ocarina of Time? Like, I have Mario Tennis. That's the game I had. I got Mario Tennis, GoldenEye, and WWF WrestleMania 2000.
Ooh, that's all you need, is those three games right there.
I still own all three of those games.
Me too. They're amazing games. Amazing.
I almost also wanted to almost put those wrestling games, the 64 versions. I want some updates of those.
Go play Wrestling Empire. It's very similar.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
Also, I don't know about the rumor mill thing, but I heard Cody Rhodes' company there, AEW, was in the works. Weren't they? Yep. Were they working with THQ or Ukes or whatever, or whoever?
I believe so, because Ukes just recently left the WWE games, so they're not doing those anymore, which is why that last one was such a buggy mess, to put it just nicely. But yeah, they left that, and I believe Cody Rhodes is always been a big fan, and he always talks about those Nintendo 64 wrestling games. Mm-hmm. So I'm very hopeful for their game whenever it comes out.
No, me too.
I could see them going down that road with it, because AEW seems to be very nostalgia filled to a certain extent, like kind of modeling their show and their pattern after like the old Monday Nitro and things like that. So if they were to make a jump into the wrestling game, I should say when they do, it won't surprise me at all if it's more of that N64 style.
Yeah, they already said they were going to make one, so let's. I'm very hopeful that that's the direction they're going.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a new one, Tim. What's it called? There's a new one that's already out on PC.
Oh, Retromania.
Yeah, Retromania. Yes. That just came out like last week.
Yes, that's.
I want to play that so bad.
It's the spiritual successor to WrestleFest, the arcade game, which that game is absolutely amazing. That game blew. I remember finding actually playing WrestleFest as a kid at the arcade, and the graphics blew me away because the sprites. I mean, there's the sprites, the animation of the sprites is amazing. Like that is Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter. There's no question about it. It even had a Mean Gene's voice and everything too.
That's right, it did.
It was so good. Like, yeah. And this new one, a Retromania, looks absolutely outstanding. I've heard good things about it. I believe it is coming to Switch. I think I saw something about it was going through the process it has to pass.
Stuck up in Nintendo hell right now.
Basically, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's definitely one I'm looking forward to as well. And that's another licensing hell thing, I'm sure too. Franchises like any of that stuff because of the wrestlers and stuff.
Well, that's why they've got a bunch of guys that aren't signed to anybody major on it.
Yeah, because
it's like all your Tommy Dreamers and like, yeah, and unfortunately dead people, things like that. Oh, it's coming to Switch, Xbox One, and PlayStation.
Cool.
Nice, nice. Very excited about that one.
Me too.
Yeah, that could be a lot of fun.
Especially if it has, I don't know if it has, does it say if it has online play?
Quick reading through just on their website, page one. I'm not necessarily seeing that. It doesn't say it doesn't, but it doesn't say it does.
Yeah, because online, I mean, even if it doesn't, that game right there, I'm going to make an exception and get. Did you guys, speaking of wrestling real quick, did you guys ever do any of the Fire Pro series? Those were fun games too.
Yes.
And the unfortunate thing is most of those never even made it to America. I remember a lot of them were Japanese only, back on like the Super Famicom and I think original PlayStation as well. One of the first Game Boy Advance games I got was actually a random Fire Pro Wrestling game when I got my Game Boy Advance, because when the Game Boy Advance launched, there there wasn't a bunch of games out for it yet, because I remember I got Mario Advance, which is Super Mario Brothers 2, and I got Fire Pro Wrestling. They were the first two games I bought.
I believe I have that on the Game Boy Advance as well. I think I also have a version of Fire Pro on the PlayStation 2, and I've got the PlayStation 4 version as well.
How's the PlayStation 4 version? Is it good?
I haven't touched much of it, unfortunately, but I would imagine if it's anything like everything else, it is. There was a thread at one time that Roger and I were going to create our own wrestling federation and do commentary and post it and do it on Twitch, but we've never gotten around to that, but it would have been fun.
I'm glad you said that, because I thought I had that idea and that I was original. No, I
According to their website at Retromania Wrestling, would there be online play? That's certainly a possibility if the game has enough support post-launch. Right now, we're focused on making the gameplay as fun as possible.
Perfect. Honest and good. I like it. Yep. All right, my friends. Well, I guess that's a good spot to start winding the show down. So before I go into that, I'm going to go around and say where we can find us, and then I'm going to hand it off to Christian and Phil to close us out. And Johnny, when I get to you, please promote yourself and what you do. So Phil, where can people find you?
You can find me at Twitter at bnow23.
And Christian, what about you?
I'm also on Twitter at Christian Kubza.
And Johnny, where can people find you?
I am on Instagram, johnnyism28. I do art, kind of a cartoonist. So look at my art on there. Also, I do podcasting. I know you could probably tell by my obvious professionalism on here. Retro Blist is an old school video game where we go and just kind of review old games and see if we still like them, pretty much. And then History Creeps is where we discuss just kind of the weird, strange things that have happened in history. And then Retro Pop is the other one. And that's where we just discuss different pop culture ones. Like the next one we're about to do is going to be Weird Al Yankovic.
Nice. That's a whole lot of podcasting.
Yes, I don't have a life, so that's what I do. That and hide in bushes.
Is that where you record? Coming to you live from the bush. Yes.
Is that like Down Under?
Yeah, the acoustics are incredible.
So you can find me on Twitter at GreatSayaMan81.
And then, Christian, if people want to find the entire Gamerheads network on Twitter, where would they find us?
That would be at Gamerheads PC.
And if they want to check us out on that archaic technology known as Facebook?
Facebook.com/GamerHeadsPodcast.
And if they wanted to send an email where they could do something like leave us a glowing review as to of how great the show is, or tell us how awful we are, we don't care, just talk to us. What would that email address be?
Yeah, that would be info@GamerHeadsPodcast.com.
And if people wanted to listen to all sorts of other, what do we call these things, podcasts, and if they wanted to read some of the reviews that our many varied writers do, what would the website that they go to check out?
Yeah, if you want to witness Roger's hot streak that he loves talking about how many video games Roger is reviewing, check out GamerHeadsPodcast.com.
And I think that brings us back to Tim.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Until then, stay safe and play some games. Take care, everybody.
Take care.